thank you guys for Talk to Talk with your girl, Anita Love, coming to you from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I want to thank you guys for the support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for just continue to check in on your girl. Thank you for asking about me. I'm doing good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, let's just get on into here. Now, a federal judge on Friday unsealed the search warrant for former President Donald J. Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Palm Beach, Florida, as well as a list of items that was removed from the property when federal agents executed the warrant this week. Well, last week. Okay, so in the sealed warrant, the notice of filing of redacted documents, the United States hereby gives notice that it is a filing the following document, which is a redacted version of material previously filed in this case, number under sealed. The search warrant, not including the affidavit, signed and approved by the court on August 5th, 2022, including attachment A and B, the property receipt listing item seized pursuant to the search filed with the court on August 11th, 2022. Now, the search and seizure warrant, any authorized law enforcement officer in application by a federal law enforcement officer or an attorney for the government requests the search of the following person or property located in the Southern District of Florida. I find that the affidavit or any recorded testimony established probable cause to search and seize the person or property described above, and that such search will reveal. And then it has, you are commanded to execute this warrant on or before August 19, 2022. So they still had time to actually act on this search. In the daytime between 6 a.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Unless delayed notice is authorized, below you must give a copy of the warrant and a receipt for the property taken to the person from whom or from whose premise the property was taken, or leave the copy and receipt at the place where the property was taken. The official executing this warrant, the officer executing this warrant or an officer present during this execution of the warrant must prepare an inventory as required by law and properly return this warrant and inventory to duty magistrate. And then it goes on to say that, I find that immediately notification may have an adverse result listed in 18 U.S.C. to $2,705 except for the delay of trial, and authorize the officer executing this warrant to delay notice of the person who or whose property will be searched or seized. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so it says the premise to be searched, 1100 South Ocean Boulevard, Palm Beach, Florida, 33480. It's further described as a resort club and residence located near the intersection of South Boulevard. It describes as a mansion with approximately 58 bedrooms, 33 bathrooms on a 17-acre estate. The location to be searched includes the 45 office. All storage rooms and all other rooms or areas within the premises are used or available to be used by him and his staff, and which boxes or documents could be stored, including all structures or building on the estate. It does not include areas currently at the time of the search being occupied, rented, or used by third parties, such as the Mar-a-Lago members, and not otherwise used or available to be used by him and his staff, such as private guest suites. Okay, it says all physical documents and records constituting evidence, contraband, fruits of crimes, or other items illegally possessed in violation of 18 U.S.C. 793-2071 or 1519, including the following. Any physical documents with classification markings along with any container boxes, including any other contents in which such documents are located, as well as any other container boxes that are collectively stored or found together with the aforementioned documents and container boxes, information including communication in any form regarding the retrieval, storage, or transmission of national defense information or classified material, any government and or presidential records created between January 20, 2017 and January 20, 2021, or any evidence of the following alteration, destruction, or concealment of any government and or presidential records or of any documents with classification markings. Receipts for property is a whole different thing with the address and everything. It said the descriptions of the boxes. There were four documents. There were 29 boxes labeled 8 through 14, 30 boxes labeled 8 through 26, 31 box labeled 8 through 43, 32 box labeled 8 through 13, 33 box labeled 8 through 33. And then you go down, and then there was the receipt of property. And then there's another breakdown, name, address, description of items. And then it's numbered all the way down to 28. And it starts off with the executive grant of clemency, Ree Rogers, Jason Stone Jr., info, Ree President of France, leather bone box of documents, various classified TC, SCI documents, potential presidential records, binder of photos, handwritten note, box label 8 through 1, box label 8 through 12, box label 8 through 15, miscellaneous secret documents, box label 8 through 16, miscellaneous top secret documents, box label 8 through 17, box label 8 through 18, miscellaneous top secret documents, box label 8 through 27, miscellaneous confidential documents. Then we go to 15, box label 8 through 28, miscellaneous secret documents, box label 8 through 30, box label 8 through 32, 8 through 35, 8 through 23, 19A confidential documents. Then we go to 20, it's labeled box label 8 through 22, 8 through 24, 8 through 34, 8 through 39. Now we have 23A miscellaneous secret documents. And then it just continues, box label 8 through 40, box label 8 through 41, then 24A miscellaneous confidential documents, then box label 8 through 42, miscellaneous top secret documents, box label 8 through 71, box label 8 through 73, and then 28A miscellaneous top secret documents. So for all of you people that are this man's flunky, that have been crying wolf, and then have been pretending that what is not what it is. If you go online, you will be able to see that search warrant, and you will be able to see what was confiscated when they searched the home. And then I ask you to do this very, very nicely for me. Stop it. Stop it. Because the FBI recovered 11 sets of classified documents in Trump's home. The inventory shows 11 sets of classified documents. Trump allies claimed that the former president declassified the documents recovered from his home. I don't know how you could do that. The FBI agent who searched the former president Donald Trump's home Monday removed 11 sets of classified documents, including some marked as top secret and meant to only be available in special government facilities. The Federal Bureau of Investigation agents took around 20 boxes of items, binders of photos, handwritten notes, and executive grant of clemency for Mr. Trump's ally, Roger Stone. A list of items removed from the property. It also included the list with information about the president of France. Come on, people. This list contained 7-page documents that also include the warrant search, the premises which was granted by federal immigration in Florida. Stop it. Stop making excuses for this man. Stop justifying bad behavior. Now, because, first of all, let's just be very clear. This is an unprecedented situation. You have never heard this story before. It's complicated, and there's many questions that will continue to remain, even when we talk about the search warrant and what was found. So I'm just going to take a step back. And I'm going to go here. Why did the FBI search the Mar-a-Lago? And in a short story, I'm going to say because the United States Department of Justice suspected the former president had committed some type of crime. And that search warrant, which have been publicly available now that you flunkies can go look, it shows that the FBI agents have gathered evidence from August the 8th as part of an investigation into whether Trump improperly handled government records by taking them from the White House. It's worth saying this. that here that the United States president must transfer all of their documents and emails to a government agency called the National Archives. Earlier this year, that agency said it had retrieved 15 boxes of paper from Trump Mar-a-Lago, which Mr. Trump should have handed over when he left the White House. He said that they included classified information and asked the Justice Department to investigate. Now, to obtain any type of search warrant, from my understanding, the prosecutors had to persuade a judge that they had probable cause to believe that a crime may have been committed. Now, we also know that the effort to seek a search warrant was signed off by the head of the Justice Department, the Attorney General, who is the country's top legal official, right? What did the agents find? I already told you what they found. I went specifically through this search warrant. 20 boxes worth of material, according to the inventory released alongside the search warrant. The FBI took 11 sets of classified files in total, including 4 that were labeled top secret. Now, these sets were classified as secret documents, and 3 were confidential. Now, the catch also included 5 marked TS, CSI, a destination for the country's most important secrets that, if revealed publicly, could cause exceptionally grave damage to the United States national security. Now, some of these files were only meant to be kept in a government secure facility. That's according to the court's document. But the court records do not indicate what information that those documents possibly could contain, and that there is much we do not know about the items on those inventory. We don't know exactly the breakdown of specifics of that. Now, for example, like other materials taken that they said was like a binder of photos and like handwritten notes and unspecified information about the president of France. And we don't know specifically how secure or not secure these things should be. What has your friend Trump said? Yes, the former president has been very vocal, has been very out front about the FBI search, and has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. He also said that the documents taken by the agents were all declassified, and that he had been placed in secure storage, and that he said he had turned them over if the Justice Department had asked. His office later on issued a statement maintaining that the documents have been declassified. The power to classify and declassify documents really rests solely with the President of the United States. That's what it reads. Now, while Donald Trump says he declassified the documents before he left office, and his allies have insisted the president has the authority to do this legally, analysis argue it is more complicated than that. It is not that fucking simple. If it's that simple to be the president of the United States, then fuck anybody can. Well, anybody was the president. I digress. The president can declassify information, that which is true, but they have to follow a certain procedure. They can't just simply say, hey, I'm declassifying these documents. They have to follow a certain process, and it's not clear exactly that was the issue with Trump. It's not clear. So let's break this down. How does classification work, right? Because there are 3 main categories of classified material. You have your confidential, and you have secret, and then you have top secret, right? And these are given dependent on the extent of the official's deemed the public release of the material, which would damage national security. And when materials are classified, they are marked as such, and only certain people can view them. And those certain people have to pass the relevant level of security, and it should be able to view them then. And there are also rules dictating how classified information is to be transported and stored. Now, there are some senior officials that do not have the power to declassify documents. The president, too, like they have been clear, has the authority to do this, but we usually delegate the task to those who have direct responsibility for the material. Now, it's worth me saying this. that documents related to nuclear weapons cannot be declassified by the president because that falls under a different law. And that's according to the security specialist. And at the BBC's United States partner, CBC had reported, CBS, I'm sorry, CBS had reported that the president cannot declassify documents by simply saying so. And then there's a written memo that will usually be drafted and it'll be signed by the president before a consultation process takes place with the relevant agency. And once a final decision is made, the old classification level will be crossed out and the document marked as declassified on such and such date. Now, it's unclear whether Trump followed the typical process with the documents that was recovered, but we're talking about Donald Trump that doesn't follow the law. The law doesn't abide by him. You know what I'm saying? And even if for some way it probably was declassified, I highly doubt that it was done legally. I'm just saying. Now, does it matter if the documents were declassified? In a legal sense, probably not. But that's because the unsealed search warrant shows that the prosecutors are investigating three potential crimes, and that is the violation of the Espionage Act, obstruction of justice, and the criminal handling of government records. Now, none of the three criminal laws in questions actually depend on whether or not the files were declassified, right? This actually just means it's uncertain whether Trump's argument about declassification could hold up in court or even be considered relevant by any judge. And there are also the elements of the story beyond declassification that could prove relevant. And there are laws designated to prevent national security documents from being mishandled. Like if the President Records Act dictates that the president risks committing a civil offense if official records are not preserved. Now, the former president has not been charged with wrongdoing, and it remains unclear whether charges will be brought up as a result of the investigation. But all the flunkies that sitting here pretending like people are just fucking with Trump and people are just picking on him and people are just stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It is unacceptable that this man that held the highest position can asshole around the law and can pick and choose when he wants to do right. This is unacceptable. And I really wish that his cheerleaders and his army of foolery, of fools, would stop making it okay for someone to keep committing crimes like this. And your white supremacist asshole of friends are sickening. They are sickening. And it's disgusting to me that people are okay with this. Now, whether or not he's held accountable, he's found guilty, they find enough evidence to send his ass to court and to, you know, to take this to trial. I don't know what the outcome gonna be. This man has broke so many laws to where nothing surprises me when it comes to him, and nothing surprises me if he'll even be held accountable. And that's just how I feel about it. But stop acting like this man is a victim. Stop it. I'm gonna take a brief break. You guys stay tuned. It's anchor.fm. It's very easy, it's very simple, and I promise you guys, you will not be disappointed. Now, I don't want to talk anymore about Dump Man. I will say this, and I'm going to end this conversation about Dump Man Trump. People need to understand that the things that you co-sign and promote because you support someone doesn't get excluded when it happens to you. A lot of this man's flukies are applauding him and enabling this bad behavior from this man, this criminal behavior. But he has money and he's in a different status of position. So just think about when it happens to you or something happens dealing with the FBI to little old people like you or little old people like me, it will be way worse. And I wonder if you're going to have the same energy when it comes to that. Just be careful of the things that you promote. I'm just saying. Moving along. R. Kelly to face federal trial in Chicago on charges of child pornography and obstruction of justice. Now, they already done the jury selection. It was scheduled for Monday, which was yesterday, in the case that stemmed from the complaints of several women who alleged that R. Kelly, 55, lured them into sex acts while they were underage. This is like nearly what, like 2 months after he was convicted and handed, he was handed 30-year prison sentence in New York on charges of federal racketeering and sex trafficking. Such a disgrace. Oh my God. Anyway, R. Kelly is set to return to court for his second federal trial. And this time these charges, like I said, is on child pornography and obstructions of justice in his hometown of Chicago. Now, again, like I said, jury selection started this Monday, which was yesterday, in the case that stemmed from the complaints of those several women who alleged that he lured them into the sex acts while they were underage. And at least two of them are expected to testify. That's what the court document is saying. Now, this trial is expected to resurface the accusations brought against him, whose his full name is Robert Sylvester Kelly, 14 years ago in a state trial on charges of child pornography, which he was eventually acquitted. So this is pertaining to the video of him urinating on the 14-year-old female. Now, the Illinois federal prosecutor alleged that R. Kelly obstructed justice in that 2018 criminal trial in the Cook County, which, like I said, involved the video recording of him allegedly sexually abusing this minor. He tried alongside his former businessman, who's also is on trial with him, Daryl McDavid, and his associate, Milton June Brown, who are both, like I said, are accused of conspiring with Kelly to intimidate and bribe witnesses and covering up the evidence in the 2018 trial. And this is according to the federal charges against them. Now, R. Kelly denied any wrongdoing, like he's done for the while, except for when it got ready for sentencing. But anyway, neither R. Kelly nor his lawyer, prosecutors responded to any comments in the media. So I tried to find out if they said anything. I haven't seen anything. Mary Hitch, judge, an attorney that's representing Brown, they declined to comment. Brown did plead not guilty to the charges against him. Bill Brinley, the attorney for McDavid, he said in a statement that during the time relevant to the charges in the case, he did only one thing. He did his job. It was his job to protect R. Kelly's image and his career. To do that, he hired some of the best lawyers in the United States, and those are the only people with whom Mr. McDavid entered into any agreements relevant to this case. Now, Mr. McDavid and the lawyers did their job. They executed it with excellence. That was not a crime. Then it is not a crime now. And he looked forward to Mr. McDavid's exoneration. That's what Daryl McDavid lawyer said. Now, let's look at this. How will the Illinois case be different from the New York's case, right? Because the trial is one in a series of federal and state stacked against R. Kelly in three states, like New York, Illinois, and Minnesota. Now, he was convicted last year and sentenced to 30 years in prison in June for the federal court in New York on 9 counts of racketeering and sex trafficking. Now, the juries in that case found that R. Kelly had set up a criminal enterprise that was enabling him to recruit and transport underage girls for sex. And an attorney for R. Kelly said that they will appeal that. No, you know, whatever. Now, the New York case, according to the evidence and the testimony presented in the court, was centered on racketeering charges and allegations that R. Kelly and his bodyguards, his drivers, managers, and others had developed a decade-long scheme that resulted in the sexual abuse of young fans. Now, the Illinois trial is going to focus on conduct during the previous legal proceedings and on the videotapes allegedly made by R. Kelly that constituted child pornography. Now, in many ways, the case will be a do-over from the not guilty verdict that he got in the trial from 2008, which had several key elements missing. The Chicago trial lawyer who worked briefly on the R. Kelly's defense, Michael Leonard, defense team in 2020 for both the New York and Illinois indictments before redrawing last year. This case is more centered on things that happened in the past, particularly with regarding to the prior legal proceedings in the state court in Illinois. He also said that the government has a theory in the case that there was a cover-up or interference with his former trial in state court years and years ago, which is quite different from what they are doing in New York. Now, in the 2008 trial, R. Kelly was tried in Cook County on child pornography charges. Now, the trial was centered on a 26-minute videotape that was sent anonymously to the Chicago Sun-Times back up in 2002 that allegedly showed R. Kelly performing sex acts with an underage girl. Now, the girl who purportedly appeared in that tape refused to testify at that trial, which juries claim is what made it difficult for them to convict him, which I don't understand because if you're looking at that videotape and you know that this is an underage person and you know that R. Kelly is the person in that video with them, whether that person, that child, because that's a child at the time, was willing to testify or not, there's no reason why you should have came back with a not guilty verdict. Now, that same video is now up in question again with the federal prosecutors now saying that R. Kelly and his co-defendants agreed to pay money and cause money to be paid on R. Kelly's behalf to the victim, witnesses, and others to ensure that they would not cooperate with law enforcement and that would conceal and cover up any evidence, including the videos relating to R. Kelly's sexual contact and the sexual acts with the minors. And accordingly to the court filings, R. Kelly had denied any wrongdoing. His attorney had not even responded to any requests, comments, or any of that. Now, the court filings also alleged that McDavid and Brown also agreed to intimidate, threaten, pressure, persuade, and attempted to persuade the underage girls and their families at R. Kelly's behalf. And Leonard, the attorney, said testimony from the alleged victim in that case, who is expected to testify this time around, will be the course of this case, will be the heat of it. Now, you have a person who says, hey, I really was a victim back then. That's what we're looking at right now. Now, the trial followed years and years and years and years of allegations against R. Kelly. Activists have long called for R. Kelly to face charges related to the long history of sexual abuse allegations against him. Now, Kenyatta Tisha Barnes, who was actually the co-founded the hashtag Mute R. Kelly social media campaign, a guy through efforts to pressure major streaming music services to remove R. Kelly's discography from their platforms. And she believes that the Illinois prosecution is important because it illustrates the egregious and reckless of his crimes spanning decades and states. In order for the survivors to heal, we have to make sure that every survivor has their day in court. And she's hoping that the city of Chicago likewise start to heal as people in Chicago who have been systemically silenced have their day. Now, R. Kelly was an architect of the culture scene in Chicago for 3 decades. Yes. He influenced the music and culture of South Chicago, which is predominantly African American. But there are other artists who also had impact. Only they're not sexual predators, for as we know. Now, the hashtag Mute R. Kelly movement notched a partial victory when YouTube removed his official artist channel back up in October of 2021. Now, Jim DeRogatis, I think that's how you would say his name, he's 57. He was one of the first journalists who started reporting on the sexual abuse allegations against R. Kelly back up in 2000. And first for the Chicago Sun-Times and later for BuzzFeed News. Now, DeRogatis, I think that's how you say his name. If I'm not saying it right, I do apologize. He said that he believes that it was important for R. Kelly to face justice in Chicago. He also said that he hopes that this trial forces a reckoning in Chicago because every system in Chicago failed dozens of young Black girls for years. And aside from the Chicago Sun-Times, the media ignore this story for a long time as well. He also expressed dismay over R. Kelly's continued popularity in some circles, as well as the pro R. Kelly's activity on social media and beyond. The social media hatred I get is nothing compared to what R. Kelly's victims get, but it's still unprecedented and very disturbing, is what he said. I am looking forward to justice again. There are so many people that still support R. Kelly, and I can't knock people for what they believe and what they think and what they feel. But I always tell people, just think about if it was someone close to you and this happened to them and they're going through almost the exact type of situation where people don't believe them, or people stand at their line, or people feel like because what you have done in the music world, everything should be a little bit lighter for you, or because white people get lighter sentences for these things, what you did, you should have got a lighter sentence because you feel that white people get lighter sentences. It's very disgusting. It's very disturbing to hear our black and brown people dismiss and minimize the pain and struggle of so many of these victims, when majority of them were black and brown women. And it's just, it's embarrassing to know that this is your culture, that this is you. This is representation of you that are doing this and saying that it's okay. I can't excuse his skill and say that it's okay because he has an amazing skill. I'm not built like that. And the fact that his skill, his talent, the money that he made from that, his music career helped enable him to continue to victimize these women and commit these crimes and get away with it, is the reason why I feel like there's no way that we should be supporting his music. There's no way we should be streaming. There's no way that we should still be liking and listening and downloading his music. There's no way that we should be doing that. And now they want to redo something that shouldn't have never had to be redone in the first place. There's no way in the world that he should have been found not guilty back in 2008, and no one's going to tell me any different. Let me say this. I was one of those people that was a skeptical. I was one of those people that was like, no, you know, R. Kelly, he is so beautiful, so sexy, so important, and he loves his black people. There's no way all these women have just fallen to him. Why he got to be with kids? I was that person until I saw that video. When I saw that video, I don't care if this was an underage girl trying to grow up too fast. I don't care if this is an underage girl with a semi-developed body for her age. I don't care what the narrative is that people try to put out there and minimize what R. Kelly did. You look at this young girl and you could tell that she was underage. You could tell that he was somebody's daddy or grandfather in that picture, pissing on an underage child and telling this child what to do to him sexually. You could tell that. I could tell that. And it was disgusting. And from that point on, because I'll never forget, before I saw that video, my daughter had a talent show at her school, and her class performed "Step" in the name of love. And after that, we have never okayed that song. When people play that song around me, I'm gone. I don't want it played in my house. You could play it in your vehicle wherever you go. But you're not going to play it in my house. You're not going to play it around me. And I'm asking you not to. And that's how I feel about it. But I pray that these girls find the justice that they need. I pray at the end that everybody is held accountable. I do feel that these mothers, if they actually love their children and see the pain and disgust that their children have to go through, I hope that that suffering will suffer them for the rest of their life. I hope they carry that guilt and that embarrassment and that shame to the day they die, because you failed your kids as well. You failed them as well. That is my time, you guys. I don't know how to express how I feel about certain things. Right. And when it comes to life in itself, we ourselves have to be the best representation of ourselves. And if we're okay with supporting and co-signing behind wrongdoing, criminal acts, disrespect, crime, we are part of the problem. We are part of the problem. And if we're not sure of what side we stand on, weigh the option. Look at the evidence. Follow the process of it. Fact check the information. And if then in your heart of hearts, you feel like you still want to support this person, you do that. You have a right to believe in whatever you want to believe in. But just know that when you support and uphold wrongdoing and criminal acts, it becomes a part of your character as well. That's my time, you guys. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for all your kind words and support. I know there are few, but you guys are mighty, mighty, mighty. And I do appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. And I ask that you guys continue. Thank you so much. Remember, stay true to yourself. Do not let anyone else's thoughts and opinion dictate who and what you think of. Continue to push to be better every day than what you were the day before. When they go low, we go high, like the former first lady. And protect yourselves, young lady. Just because someone in the music business and they think that they can make things happen for you, don't trust them. Do not be alone with them. Do not accept drinks with them. Watch your back.